Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting the March winds blowing into spring training and certainly into free agency and tampering week. Any breaking news will happen first on the WNST Tech Service. That's all brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Luke Jones is going to make that happen for us here this week as we get some Lamar Jackson news. You can get some Tyler Linderbaum news. Certainly, World Baseball Classic in the offing, as well as Orioles opening day up on 3 weeks now. And Luke Jones joins me now to discuss Orioles baseball in a way that I'm writing letters to a lot of different people this month. I'm going to start with John Harbaugh's exit letter and where we are with Jesse Minter and Pete Alonso and Craig Albernaz, a lot of new people to welcome here with letters and some other people to hold accountable. The Rubenstein Arrigetti, and I keep hearing more about Arrigetti than I do about Rubenstein in regard to the organization and where all this is going and trying to sell me season tickets and Birdland memberships. And it's whatever, $350 and come out, you get an opening day ticket, the whole thing. Just the fact that like they have the ability to sell me, and I'm watching games, and they're floating their bobblehead knights, and I now even know, and I learned this because of your nieces, that Nelly is going to be performing on May the 9th after the lost
The Athletics.
Charlie Finley's Athletics will be performing at Camden Yards, their AAA act. But nonetheless, like, tis the season, right? It's spring training. They should be marketing their baseball team. First things first, I've watched a few of them. I know what Chris Bassett looks like in an Oriole jersey at this point. And more than that, you and I used to pine away to go to JetBlue Park and see Fenway South. And then we got there and we're like, where's the spaceship? That what the hell happened here? And then we go in, and then you watch it on TV on Sunday, you're like, I want to go back. And I think to myself, all I remember about that experience was I had to pee really, really, really bad, and the gates weren't open for the stadium, and they didn't have anywhere for me to pee. And so that was a memory that I have of that ballpark that day. And a lot of people, a lot of weird accents.
I remember Albert Suarez pitching that day before anyone really knew who Albert Suarez was 2 years
Oh, I
ago.
did talk
But
to Mike Elias that night. So it's one
you
of two
did.
times
That's
in my
right.
life. One
That's
of two
right.
times in my life I have
Forgot you
talked to Mike
did.
Elias. That's correct.
So yeah, but no, your overall point though, it's nice to have it on TV. It's nice that it's visible, right? I mean, there's such a sense of not that there's like this awful sense of FOMO where like, oh, you're missing out on something, but it's like if you can't see it, if you can't follow it, like, is it really happening? You know what I mean? Like, there's
Is
a
it
little bit of that.
worthwhile?
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to sit here and say that as a fan that there's this great need to watch all 20 games they're showing on Masson, but it's there. You can watch it on a Sunday afternoon when the Terps have a lousy first half against Rutgers, you know, and you don't you got your fill of that. You can turn it on and watch Chris Bassett pitch, right? So it's good, right? Is it perfect? No, but it's good. It's better. It's improvement, and it's refreshing to be able to watch it on a regular basis. As I've said to you all along, the formula that most teams, not all, but most teams have kind of followed over the years has been you're showing most of your home games. Now, Sunday's example, they use the Nesson camera feed, right? But they broadcast the game. So it was fine. And you know, at least in the case of when you have Rock Kabako, Rock's been down there, right? He's been around players. He's been around the team. So you get that sense. But it's definitely refreshing because, I mean, if there's one thing that was one of the most legitimate, egregious violations of fans who subscribe to Masson and you're putting four spring training games on for something that runs for 5 weeks, you know, I mean, you talk about below the bars. So glad to see that. And look, you get to the seventh or eighth inning, and you're not necessarily sitting there watching it fully engaged, but at the same time, you get a chance to watch some of these guys, and even guys that aren't going to be on the team this year. You get to see some of the younger guys, right? You get to see some of that at work. And I mean, how about the fact that you look at the Orioles if there were one of the great disappointments in their minor league system last year, it was Vance Honeycutt, who was their first round pick the year before. Go look at his numbers, Nestor. Disaster of a season at high A, coming out of college, struck out, wasn't hitting at all, any of that. He has three at bats. He's come, you know, he's not in major league camp. He's been an extra, right? They send minor leaguers over to play, fill out and maybe play the last couple innings. He has three at bats in the Grapefruit League. Vance Honeycutt has three home runs. Now, he's not going to be an Oriole this year, but you're hoping maybe that little bit of success might help his psyche to get him back on track, that maybe he becomes a prospect again, because he was so bad last year that you're, I mean, to the point where you're writing him off. That's how bad it was. But there's a perfect example. Like, no one had seen Vance Honeycutt play before, but if you're watching on Masson, you've seen him hit a couple home runs. So good for him. And it's just for anyone who's ready for baseball, you're sick of winter, cold, snow, all that. It's a
You want to
reminder
see
that
Kobe
it's,
Mayo play shortstop? This is your chance, right?
yeah, well, the big one is see Kobe Mayo at third base. Can he handle it, right? We've been talking about that big time with the Jordan Westberg injury, and whether, you know, whether Mayo's going to be able to handle that. You know, will he hit enough to be in a position where you say, okay, you can live with the defense if he's going to swing the bat, but this is how this plays out. And look, to sit here and make any sweeping observations 10 days into Grapefruit League games, don't really have that many, but it's good to see, lay eyes on these guys. It's good to see that, you know, Ryan Helsley's stuff, right? And see Kyle Bradish and Trevor Rogers have looked like, hey, okay, they look like your one and two starters, whichever order you want to put them in. Boz made his Grapefruit League debut the other day, had really good stuff, right? So you're getting a chance to not see necessarily every single day, but you're getting to see more. You're getting to see more games than not. And that is a welcome change from what the entire existence of Masson is. And even go back before Masson, you know, we're talking about previous carriers, you know, you weren't getting that many spring training games. So just good. It's there. It's there, especially if you're someone who has the ability to work from home, or, you know, you have some time during the day, you can watch it. And, you know, they replay it in the evenings most times. So it's just been fun in that way. It makes it feel a little more real. And knowing that, yeah, we're about, you know, just over 3 weeks away from the season starting.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there on opening day, which creeps in and comes in on us. Where are you on the WBC and the movement, and what that's going to do to the roster here the next week and a half or 2 weeks, if the USA is successful and plays into this thing next weekend, as well as other parts of their roster? I saw the Red Sox had 16 guys away. Orioles don't have that going, but they have it going on with Dean Kramer and some other guys that are going to be missing a start or two or a rotation place, or and certainly you don't want any of those guys get injured. We did a whole
Yeah.
segment on that and my experiences from Tokyo to Dodger Stadium to Havana, Cuba, and to Maracaibo, Venezuela, loving baseball. But I would say for this period of time, other at bats, other opportunities. You mentioned Mayo, Blaze Alexander getting a chance to at least see whatever that is. It really is unfortunate about the Holiday and the Westberg thing, but
Yeah.
they skated on Basayo in a way that was, I didn't text you that day. You know, I figured I'd leave you alone that day, but I'm like, man, guys were going down one after another and the bad
Yeah.
news was adding up. Just don't want anybody getting injured right now. And I do think you want to see Colton Cowser hit the ball. You want to see
Sure.
Kobe Mayo field the ball. You want to see Pete Alonso, at least in the early couple swings, look the part. So there's a, and you want to see Albernaz screaming into the microphone when they mic him up on Masson and having a good time. I, you know, look, dude, I love spring training because I love baseball. I don't love the current scenario. You and I would have been in Sarasota last week. You and I, if this were normal and Rubenstein and Arrighetti took the thing over and Katie Griggs treated me like a human, we would have been down there, and I would have run down to Miami and made a big stink about the Venezuela game next week. We would have figured things out. We would have gone down there for a week. I mean, it went and had like really made a thing of it, because I think spring training is something that you mentioned that it was, what was your intolerable, unthinkable, ridiculous, absurd, whatever the words were for 30 years of not putting their spring training games on, especially the last 20 years we gave them a network and paid them money to do it.
Right.
They didn't even market their own thing. Then they wonder why the tickets aren't selling. I mean, just, you know, they were run by a kook. Reminds me of America right now. So I would say, at least in this early going, this part of it, and then they don't ship their broadcasters down. And you mentioned that Rock was around the team. Yeah, it'd probably be helpful if everybody was around the team because you want people to
I
be
hear
around the
you.
team because you're trying to sell the concept of all of this. Spring training's wonderful. And the fact that they're zooming it in and the fact that we're seeing the Bassetts and we're seeing the players and we're getting them mic'd up a little bit and we're getting to know the new manager's funny accent and all that. My God, it's way overdue. And it makes, if they ever get normal ownership and invite, it makes me want to go down there and be a part of it because I like all of that. We all should like that in March after shoveling snow here all January and February. You know, it's a great awakening for them, and it's something that should, according to my AI and all the research that they've done, it should help stimulate the fact that opening day is not the beginning, but that some of us have been on the soap opera a little bit more because we've been allowed to be.
I think that's fair. And I mean, think about the, you know, this, and let's be clear, most of the storylines aren't that critical, right? I mean, but at the same time, yeah, you do want to see what Mayo looks like at third base, knowing that there's a need. I mean, there's going to be a need that's indefinite right now. But that's not just him, it's Blaze Alexander. Let's not forget about Jeremiah Jackson, who's off to a good start this spring. And, you know, he's been playing a lot of second base too. So, whereas last year we saw him right field and third base as the Orioles were playing out the string. So you have some of that. Heston Kjerstad's off to a great start this spring. Do I think that means he's going to make the roster? No. But I'm hoping that means for him that one, he's healthy and in a good place physically and mentally. And that two, he can revitalize his career, right? I mean, there have been plenty of guys who've had nightmare kind of scenarios or injuries or bad seasons, and but they're able to get back on track. So, you know, it's been great to see Heston Kjerstad swing the bat well. You know, at the same time,
I never
I
know what
think,
any of that means for young guys
oh,
until it translates because all of these guys are blue chip guys.
sure.
This
Well,
isn't, you know, Sugano or Suarez coming over at the end. These are guys that, like, they've got a lot of investment in Heston Kjerstad that if this is the year he becomes Ryan O'Hearn and figures it out, if this is the year he can, same thing with Cobie Mayo. They're
yeah.
going to be real happy they didn't trade him away for a bag of donuts, right? I mean, as much as we call Elias less names than Jason Lockenfora called him. I don't feel like there's they've been village idiots about how they've handled their talent, and some of it hasn't bloomed in the way you want it to
Yeah.
bloom, but they haven't been snookered on a deal in some way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a year ago at this time, we were saying Kyle Stowers for Trevor Rogers was looking that way, but then Trevor Rogers looked how he looked last year.
Now you think he can start game one of the World Series for you,
You know,
literally,
or at
right?
least on open, it might be starting opening day if it's not Bradish. But yeah, I mean, it's a reminder that development is not linear, perfectly linear, right? I mean, you think about it in terms of like, okay, you kind of plan it out, right? You draft someone in the first round and they're great in low A, they go to high A, next year they're in double, right? I mean, like, and you just want it to be perfect that way, or a guy's so great that he skips a level, right? And look, there are examples like that, but we also know there are examples of guys that things fall apart sometimes. That's why I mentioned like the Vance Honeycutt thing is interesting to me. You know, I mean, again, go Google his numbers last year and get back to me how disastrous they were. Him playing at Aberdeen, right, where you're just like, is this guy, like, is he a total bust? Well, he's got three home runs this spring. Now, that might be nothing in the big picture, right? I'm not going to sit here and talk about 15 Grapefruit League at bats for the starters or five or six innings for these pitchers at this point, and you're drawing any conclusions about it other than just you want guys to get their work in and to be healthy and pitcher velocity look okay and all of that. But yeah, this is a reminder that guys had an off season and guys did work and some guys added 1 or 2 miles per hour on their fastball. Some guys that are on the older side lose a mile or two, a tick on their fastball, right? Not even just necessarily because they're hurt, they're just older, right? I mean, Bassett will be an example of that quite like. I'm guessing his average fastball velocity will probably be half a mile to a mile below what it was last year because he's 37 years old. Doesn't mean he can't pitch, doesn't mean he won't be good, but that's just,
That's when
You're
Jamie
kind of,
Moyer was just figuring it out.
yeah, you're right. But you're just, you're just kind of sorting everything out right now. I mean, and again, most of this statistically, like for example, Gunnar Henderson, 3 for 17 before he left for the WBC. Is anyone worried about that? No. I'll be worried if he gets hurt in the WBC, but it's Gunnar Henderson. Like you're hoping, hey, as long as he's healthy from where he was last year, then it should be fine. But for some of these guys that are less proven, man, this is a big opportunity. And for me, like for Mayo, for example, he has swung the bat well. That's great, and that's well and good.
He went from afterthought being the third guy in the backup Cardinals uniform going to AAA to being a guy that's going to like get a real, have a real march and like have a real opportunity to play. I mean, that's doesn't happen for everybody. More times than not, guys get blocked or
Yeah.
fail and don't and aren't heard from again, which we
Well,
all sort of wrote him off like to some degree.
how about the fact that now he's not a prospect, but Ryan Mountcastle, I'm guessing now is going to be on the roster. Whereas, from the moment that they tendered or that they, signed him instead of non-tendered him, I was kind of confused by that. Now, that said, I'm also not going to sit here and say that I necessarily think that's going to be money well spent because he just hasn't hit the last couple years the way he needs to. But
Well, it is
hey,
amazing in some
you have a
ways
couple
about all of these
injuries.
guys, right? Like Couser is a guy that I was the first one saying, trade him while they're mooing. You know, Allen doesn't like the hole in the swing at all. We'll be getting together with him on Friday over at Costas, by the way, on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'll have Harlem Globetrotter scratch offs to give away. And then you've been against the Colton Couser thing more of late. Rutschman, we all were in love with him. You thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I told my wife, I've never seen a team this loaded ever. And the next thing you know, he's hitting Mendoza. And we don't know what the hell that is, even as we sit here, right? And then you lose Holiday and you lose Westberg, at least for the time being. And there's no Henderson taking at bats around here the next 2 weeks, probably. So,
Yeah.
then all of a sudden the Blaze Alexanders blaze in from the side door, and we're wondering, hey, can we get Mateo back? Can we call Ramon? And it really is an incredible thing how the stock goes up and down, and the stock's only as good as it is right now, unless you're Gunnar Henderson and you can go 3 for 16. Coby Mayo puts a couple 3 for 16s together and boots 5 balls here in March. Dude, not good. Not good for where they want to be and where we all were on Coby Mayo when we thought like he's going to play in the big leagues. He's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to be the thing that replaces the Santander or, whatever that was going to be at that time. Or
Yeah.
Mountcastle, really.
Right. I mean, I for me it's less about the results. What's the process look like, right? But because you can also go 6 for 12 and 5 of those were soft contact blooped in the right center field. That isn't necessarily indicative that you're swinging the bat all that well. It's just you're getting good results because 12 at bats when you think about it in the scope of 162 is nothing, right? I mean, so I think you have to be a little more mindful with that. But what's the contact look like? What do the swing decisions look like? Are you having good at bats? Are you seeing pitches? Obviously, you and I haven't talked about this a whole lot. I mean, the ABS system is it's a new wrinkle. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, in terms of when you're challenging, who's
Well, they're
challenging, right?
laughing about it in March, right? I mean, I saw Bassett, we're going to challenge us or we not.
Yeah.
The Red Sox guy says, I know I'm going to first base. That was not
It
a strike. And I know it
was
wasn't a
funny,
strike.
yeah. And
And
he was right. But
yeah, right. It is funny, but I don't think it's funny when it's the seventh inning and you got two on and the computer says it was whatever the computer says it was.
there's that element, but let's say because you only get two, and if you lose those, like you keep them, you keep going if you're right, but you get two. Basically, you get two incorrect challenges, right? You use your two, and then the seventh inning, the umpire completely blows a 3-2 call, and you don't have a challenge,
This is
right?
like me and
So,
my wife playing Scrabble versus
yeah.
Wordle. Wordle, you hit the wrong word, it just doesn't let you play it. Scrabble, you get penalized.
Yeah.
So,
So,
at some point, where you challenge and whether it's a pitcher's count, a hitter's count,
It'll be
where
interesting.
you are in the game. It makes it, the manager has to manage more on every pitch, right? Like literally, it makes that job a little different. Not a little, a hell of a lot
Well,
different.
you say that. Remember, the manager, the only players can challenge. It's only
Right.
the
I'm
pitcher,
sorry.
the hit. No, but but where I will say the manager comes into play there is you've got to talk about that as a club, right? You've got to talk about it in terms of from a theory standpoint. In the same way we've talked about it for years, if you have a head coach there, there's a 5-yard pass where it's ruled incomplete and it's a catch, but it's 4 minutes into the game and you're at your
But
own
can you
20-yard
imagine the
line.
wide receiver having the red flag and throwing it up in the air? And the
Right. Well,
coach saying, well, you better have caught it. You know,
but
you,
that's but but
right?
that's the element. And but you also need to think about when you want to do that. If it's 3 minutes into the game, you're probably saying, if it's the first inning, you're probably not going to do that unless it's bases loaded and two outs and it's a 3-2 pitch that you're going to get a run out of it. So that'll be interesting. So that's just an extra wrinkle here. But to go back to the greater point, as far as these players, what's the process look like? For me with Mayo, yeah, of course I want to see him swing the bat well. But I'm also going to put more stock into what he did in September last year rather than what he's doing in a handful of spring games. But I do want to see the defense look a certain way. I do want to see that look like he can be capable. I mean, the thing with me with Mayo, like there's a sweet spot, and Cowser to a lesser extent, because he's a little more established in the majors, albeit coming off of a frustrating season. But with Mayo, I can live with the defense being okay if he swings a bat and hits, right? What you don't want is him struggling at the plate and he's struggling, and then you're talking about, man, that's a
If
major
he's got
problem then.
13 home runs and 7 errors on May 15th, I can live with that.
I mean, it's yeah, right. I mean, the general
I'm
point,
just saying, like, I just can't.
exactly. Where, but if he's not really hitting
He's got
and
13 errors and 7 home runs, we got a
Yeah,
problem.
right. So, but you've got to figure that. You've got to evaluate that. And spring training can be a fooler, because, and this is where it's helpful to be able to watch the games, because and this is where I'll use Vance Honeycutt as an example. Like, he's getting in at the very end of games and he's probably facing a single A pitcher, right? I mean, so you know that, okay. Great for him, important for him, but it has no bearing on anything re pertaining to the major league roster right now. You look at, especially when these guys are going, depending on when they're playing, are they facing more major league and triple A pitching, or are they facing more double A and single A pitching, right? That matters. So yeah, again, the numbers for me aren't nearly as prevalent. Perfect example, Kyle Bradish the other day. He pitched on Saturday. He gave up 2 runs in 3 innings. Statistically, though, like that's a 6 ERA. But Taylor Ward not playing a ball in left field the way he needed to really led to Bradish giving up those runs. Bradish was great. Well, looked great on Saturday. Threw the ball well, looked like
He
he's ready
wanted the
for the
look.
season.
Yeah.
But statistically, it didn't, the ERA, he gave up a couple runs in 3 innings, but
You don't
he had,
worry about any of that, but that's the difference between
exactly.
us being able to watch the
You can watch
game
it.
or having p
You can
and
watch.
looking at a box score.
Here's an example of one that I'm not sounding the alarm, but you know what? I'm going to be watching very carefully the next time. Kittredge the other day, he got bombed. Now, giving up the runs, I don't care as much about that. You know what I cared about? Fastball velocity was way down. Now, I'm hopeful, and I'm not saying that this isn't the case. I'm hopeful that that's a guy in the November of his career who's ramping up, right? I'm hoping it's that and not because his elbow is bothering him. Now, when he was taken out of the game, you could see him in the dugout. He didn't look like someone who was overly frustrated, concerned. I saw him even smile. So it lends me to believe that he's okay physically, but I'm going to be watching next time to see what the velo looks
Well,
like,
this is
right?
the difference between the WBC and what Kittredge is going to be doing here the next 2 weeks. And what Cobie Mayo is going to be doing and what Gunnar Henderson are going to be doing are going to be kind of similar. like all in, all effort. I'm trying to prove something here in a different kind of an environment in Bradenton than if Gunnar Henderson is playing against Venezuela or Puerto Rico or, you know, whatever in Miami next week, or Cuba in Miami. It's a whole
Yeah.
different thing. And yeah. So I would just say the level of competitiveness and the level of where Chris Bassitt is in ramping up, trying to get ready to make that third or fourth start, and Dean Kramer, who's trying to win and trying to get his turn in and trying to represent, and you know, like
That's
this is an
different.
interesting week and a half about who's going to face who, what level of competition, where the stakes are, and then really what gets them ready for March 26, which is like all that Craig Albernaz and Mike Elias are concerned about. And it's all really probably Gunnar Henderson's really concerned about, but it won't be in those moments when
Sure.
the bright lights are on and he's in a big league stadium doing big league things next week.
Yeah. I mean, and let's throw another name out there because I'll continue to say this about this guy. I mean, look, there's a perception of what Tyler O'Neill is right now based off of what happened last year, right? It was a disaster, right? He wasn't healthy, didn't hit all that well, even when he was healthy. But there's a reason why the Orioles gave him the deal they did 2 winters ago. Whether it was wise to give him a 3-year deal, you know, like that kind of speaks for itself at this point. But you still have him, and he's still someone who's hit 30 plus home runs in a season in the majors. That's why you got him. So he's off to a really good start. He has swung the bat extremely well. He's now going to play for Team Canada. Boy, if you're Mike Elias and you're Craig Albernaz, a guy like him, especially who has a career history of injuries, boy, you're holding your breath because you're just thinking, man, we've got him. O'Neill swinging the bat well. He's looking good. I mean, you add him to our like a good version of him to the lineup. Man, that lineup just gets that much deeper. So there's an example of someone where you don't want to say, hey, don't play for Canada. And you know, you're
It
not
is
really in a
kind of
position to
weird
do
because they
that. But
packed their ish up in Sarasota and go on a road trip basically
yeah, they leave for 10 days, you know,
with a
like.
whole different thing, and they say goodbye to everybody, and the manager and the GM are, and the dietitians and the trainers are like, hey man, you know, ice that thing. I, you know,
Right.
like
I would assume they come up with a plan. Like, it's not as though there's no
oh, it's, I'm
contact.
sure it's
Yeah,
beyond
but there's still
corporate at
that
this point.
sense of you have to trust the player and you have to trust that team, like that country, their coaching staff to say, like Mark DeRosa, you know, with Team USA and all of that. There's a lot of trust on him to do right by the player and by the teams that are lending out their players, right? He's talked about that. He's on MLB Network. I remember him talking about that
I remember when
extensively.
Cito Gaston didn't get
So,
Mike Mussina hurt at the All-Star game
yeah.
because he didn't want to work him. You know what I mean?
And
There's
then was
always that at
hated, and then
All-Star
was
games
hated
too.
for it,
Like,
right? Yeah,
yeah,
so.
there was always that when another
Yeah.
manager gets involved. I guess
Yeah,
that's all I'm
so
saying.
like it's, you know, as great as the WBC is, I mean, you know, these teams privately do not like it. I mean,
Well, Craig
there's no way.
Albernaz, I'm sure he's a good American, you know, because I can hear his accent that he's an American. He wants Team America to win, but not at the expense of Gunnar Henderson, you
Right.
know, like
It's
at
like,
all, right?
get Gunnar Henderson back to me in one piece and ready to go, right? I mean, it's that
Right.
simple. So yeah, but I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. And to your point, I mean, the Orioles aren't even a team that necessarily is being gutted. Like, some of these teams are kind of gutted for the next 10 days or so. And obviously some of these countries will be in, you know, a few days and then those guys will be returning. But, you know, you're talking about US, Team Japan, the Dominican, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. I mean, go down the list. Like, these are all countries that have designs on being there at the end, right? I mean, Great Britain's a different story, right? I mean, I know the Netherlands years ago made a nice run, but you know, some of these, you know, Team Israel, you're not expecting to be in the final, right? But
Venezuela's loaded, and Miguel
right.
Cabrera is just a hitting coach. Come on.
Yeah, so but it you know it's fun, but at the same time, it's, man, it's
Torres,
ner if ner
Contreras, come
nerve
on.
wracking for these major league clubs where they're just, and that's where you do also have to have a sense of, look, you can't put these guys in bubble wrap in the same way that when a player gets hurt in spring workouts, right, for the Ravens or something like that. I mean, or someone gets hurt in spring training the first few days, right? So you know that. That can happen, but when it's not on your watch, man, you're really nervous. I mean, you just are. So that's it's an interesting dynamic. At the same time, I'm not gonna sit here and be disparaging about the WBC because I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, if you're an Orioles fan or you're a Yankees fan or a Blue Jays fan or a Phillies fan, I mean, you're holding your breath. Let's get our guys back in one piece and intact, and then hey, then we'll all look back on it fondly. How about that?
Something magic happens on the 26th of the month. It's opening day. We're going to be having fun getting up on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour between now and then. Wednesday, we're at Gertrude's. Friday, we're at Costas in Dundalk. Tuesday, we are at Missoni's in Perry Hall. I'm wearing my Coco's gear because I'm in the mood for Marcella's ribs and her burger special down there. So we'll be making it all happen locally around here. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our partners at GBMC, and our newest sponsors at Farnin and Dermer. I'm always going to mess it up. Zach gave me a hard time about that last week. Although they did fix my HVAC and my plumbing, so I'm very, very appreciative. They also gave me some fun hats to wear, so we're going to have that around here as well. They are the Comfort Guys. They are our newest sponsor. We're very appreciative, and you'll hear that around here at AM 1570 as well. He is Luke. I am Nestor. Together, we're all awaiting the word on Lamar and Tyler Linderbaum and all of that. If you're on the WNST text service, you'll get that first. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. We're back for more. We're WNSD AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.